You're worthy. He'll do it again. I just get the sense this morning that there's still some of that happening, that you're still walking out of the darkness into the light. And we get to tell the enemy, you thought you had me. You thought you have me. But Jesus says you're worthy.
Fun. It's a good song. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
We're going to dive right in today. Well, relatively. We're like on the diving board. Andrea says she's got a testimony, so we're going to start with that, which is going to be our spring on the board before we really get into it. So come on up, Andrea. I just sprung on her. She was not prepared for this, so her heart is going beep, 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 as Kaya would say. I'll hold the mic for you. Take some of your nerves.
Okay. First of all, I'm running on no sleep because we had a dog that we had to take to emergency, whatever. So we were up all night, but I need to back up because this year has been a fighting year, and my takeaway is we need to be violently resolved. The Bible is full of promises, and to go along with your circuit thing, some of them are so awesome, it just blows the circuit. It's like, that can't, I gotta be reading that wrong. That can't be right, but it's true. And if you haven't read one that blows the circuit, we're not reading the same Bible. It's full of them, and they are all yes and amen in Christ. I got a lot of notes here, but awesome songs today. Thank you. Pastor Appreciation Day, because my day got hijacked yesterday. I'm a do it at the last minute person. So here's your card. Pastor Bruce, thank you for going into death and showing us the way back from the physical death. And thank you, Jesus, for bringing us all out of death and into life anyway. I want to talk about autoimmune diseases because this has been my battle this year. And I am violently resolved.
Yes. Come on, Andrea.
This is unacceptable. This is unacceptable in the body. I've been saying for years, every time I get a symptom, I don't care what it is, your name is beneath Jesus. Get beneath my feet. Get under my feet. I'm not taking it. So my response is always, not in my body. Not in my body. Because Jesus says, not in my body. We are his body. It's not for us. We are the head and not the tail. We're above but not beneath. We're whatever other ones that... It is hot up here. It is really hot up here. But Sergio, I'm going to jump to you because last week, the plead your case. Of course, I can't think of that verse right now. But you know what? I pray about, everything. But I don't repeat a bunch. I don't repeat it over and over because when I pray it, it's done. I believe it right now. It's done. So my response to that is, I've pled my case before the Lord, and now I rest my case. I say thank you. There's no other response other than thank you. I'm all over the place here. I need to say that the enemy is afraid of us finding out who we are in Christ. When the Bible says that the gates of hell... help me. Will not prevail. They're talking about us, the church, the informed, the enlightened, the fulfilled, we got to know who we are in Christ. And that is the bottom line. For freedom. Oh my goodness. I'm so off track here. Back to this dog. So I've been battling autoimmune stuff I refuse to accept. I say the enemy is tempting me to accept something, and I just flat out say no. He gives us a way out, and his way out is the word, and it's just full of promises. So we took our dog to the vet. She's been ill. She hasn't eaten in 2 days. So we take her, and it's like, okay, so, you know, they did blood work, whatever. And the only weird thing is potassium. So she's thinking, so she's preparing us for Addison's disease in my dog. Addison's disease is an autoimmune disease. I say, if I'm not having it in my body, then my livestock or whatever category we're not having it. We're not having it. So Phil and I, she bombards us with a bunch of, I want to say legal stuff, but it was medical stuff, and she's talking about what the adrenal glands do and everything, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, so they're talking about a number. I said, okay, well, we'll do the test. We'll cross the other bridge when we get, let's just find out what we're dealing with. So as soon as we hung up the phone, because you sit in your car while they work on your dog, and as soon as we hung up the phone, Phil and I turned to each other and said, autoimmune disease. No, we're not having it. My dog is fine. So we brought her home. I mean, she did have ear infection, and she had some minor stuff. Her numbers were fine. Her number was fine. She did not have Addison's disease. And I'm going to say, because we didn't jump on that bandwagon. So that's where I'm going to say thank you, Pastor Vicky, for grace under pressure. For you know where peace comes from. You know how to walk it. You can do the battle. And yeah, there's turmoil inside, but that's not what's coming out. I'm not giving that any life. That's not, I'm so far off. Well, who have I forgot? Oh, Nick. Okay, now I already said worship because, I mean, today is just one example of many, like, so all of you are ministry people, so that's, and you, because I think a couple weeks ago, you set me up. It wasn't just me. I think you set us up, because I think we do need to step out. We need to start talking back to the enemy, because he is a defeated foe. If you believe any of the words of any of these songs, then what is there to be sad about? What is there to worry about? I mean, the only response is thank you. So I'm just going to have to say, and you guys back there, I'm going to call you part of the ministry stuff, even though, but I mean, everybody, Miss Yvonne, everybody is playing a part. We are the body. And he is saying, not in my body. That is each and every one of us. And we need to take that out there, because this that we battle, they're battling without Jesus. And you can't win. You can't win it. You cannot win it. So I'm just going to say, like the blown circuits. There are limiting beliefs. Everybody has a limiting belief. And that's the thing that blows a circuit. And the only way to get past that is to replace it with a liberating truth. And the only place you're going to find a liberating truth is in that book. The only thing I can say, pick a word, I don't care, look up every verse in it, write it down, say it, speak it out, because we believe it here, we confess it, it's really hot up here. So, find the promises, speak them, believe them, plead your case, and rest your case, and the only response is thank you. Because he said, you are mine.
Here's your pen, Andrea. Here's your pen. You got keep writing your card. You cheated. That goes pretty well in line with today. Oh, you did great for being put on the spot too. Being hot up here is completely normal. I don't know. I have a sweatshirt on. I didn't take it off, but I very well could have because I was already hot back there. So today, I forgot to ask you to make me a background. Damn. If. That's what today's title is, if. And so I'm going to ask for some of you to give me an if statement, like the one that comes to mind. I have a four-year-old. If you eat your dinner, you will get ice cream, popcorn, candy, sleepy time for the parent, right? So give me a couple of if statements, Andrea. If you believe the word, you walk in victory. All right, she's on something today. The circuit is about to blow. It hasn't really tripped yet. It's just got a lot of power going through it right now. All right, come on, more ifs. It doesn't have to be like biblical like that either. I'm talking like work ifs, driving ifs. If you obey a speed limit, you don't get a ticket. If you speed, you get a ticket. If you do your job, you get paid. Yeah, come on, come on.
If you do it good, you get promoted.
If you do it good, you get to climb the ladder. Yeah. If you do good in school, you graduate. Yes. If you smile, you infect other people and they smile. That's a good one. I like that. We got a new house over here. If you pay your mortgage, you keep your house. Hey. So one more. I'm not going on yet. This side's pretty quiet over here. If you stay up all night, you hear from the Lord. That is, I think that is probably biblical. I think it's close to fasting. You're fasting sleep, and fasting gets you closer for whatever reason. We lose our earthly desires. All right, another one from this side. If you're kind, it comes back. Yes. And that, in this day and age, is now called what? Karma. No. That's a confused term for what the Lord said. You reap what you sow.
Right.
You sow kindness, you get kindness. If you obey your parents, you have a blessed long life. Scripture does say that. Honor your father and mother. We're not to an if yet. All right. So, on the topics of ifs, this is another one of those Sundays I don't have a whole lot more than a bunch of scripture. So, Daniel 3 is where we're going. Going to hang out there till the end so you don't even need to have your flipping fingers ready. You just got to get to one finger ready at Daniel 3. I'm pretty excited too, because while I was getting this together, I learned something new. So I'm hoping that it's fun for you too, which is something I'm sure I heard about. Do you guys remember when I had the revelation of the Seder feast? Were any of you here for that? And I connected the dots. This is another one of those. I'm sure I've heard it, but maybe the circuit finally broke. Maybe that's what it actually is, but yeah, it finally got connected. That probably is the case of that. So, let's start reading. Daniel chapter 3. We're going to start right off at verse 1 there. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its width is 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, which I think it's like 98 feet tall, if I remember right. That thing's big. How tall is this? 90 feet? Well, all right. If you do good at math, you can math. Math is hard for some of us. Oh, Andrea's got the cheat sheet in hers. Stop looking in the back for the answers. Jeez. So it's big. 90 feet. The ceiling's 16 to the peak. So that's a lot. That's a big statue that they built in that day. So he set it in the plain in the province of Babylon. Verse 2, and King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces, all the peoples, to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar set up. Notice dedication there. This is a one-time thing. So the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials, everybody, gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Verse 4. Then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the that thing. Psaltery? Sure. In symphony, with all kinds of music. The funny thing is I read that last night and heard the actual how you say it, and I thought, I got to keep that one in the memory bank so that when I actually read it today, it'd still be there. And vocab was not on the top of my list either. You shall, so it says, when you hear all the music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Verse 6, and whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, and the lyre, see, look, they skipped on that last one. In symphony with all kinds of music. I'm reading New King James Version also, if you're trying to track on your electronic device. All the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped. And the emphasis on all there. Everybody. Nobody stood against it. So just because everybody's doing it doesn't make it right. Do any of you know this story? You've thought through, you've read it maybe once or twice. You know what's going to happen. Andrea's cheating. The Veggie Tales, it was a giant chocolate bunny. Yeah. Childhood. We need, this goes with what Andrea said. We need to be grounded in God's word, not steered by the moral standard of our world. The moral standard always changes. So if we're fitting in with our moral standard right now, if you look back 50 years, it'd probably be pretty edgy to that time. And for some reason, the thought that comes to mind is, look at lingerie advertisements. That did not happen 50 years ago. You did not walk into a store and there were pictures of people in their underwear. It was unacceptable. Moral law has now changed. The same with cuss words. Cuss words back even when I was a kid, there was nothing in PG films, in PG-13, like nothing. Now, Michelle and I are like, you can't even watch a movie anymore because PG-13 is what R used to be back then, it seems like. Like, it's all getting more edgy. And so the moral standard from this time forward, you can already see it's going to keep going downhill. According to what? According to Scripture. There's a place that we are supposed to stay. Not many of you were here for my first message. It was blurred lines. And I drew a chalk line on the carpet. And there's a line that the Lord calls us to stay by. And the more times that we partake of the things of the world, Babylon, that line gets blurred. And what I did, I crossed back and forth between the world and God, and it blurred the chalk line in the carpet so that then we couldn't tell, wait, is this okay with the Lord or is this against the Lord? Should I be watching this? Should I be listening to this? Should I be talking like this? You got to draw that line, and that line will stay bright, like Andrea said, if you read your word. Your word is the only thing that's going to keep you sharp. Because when you're in your word, the Holy Spirit will communicate to you. And then the conviction comes, which isn't very enjoyable. But it's necessary to keep us straight. There's quite a few parents in here. And there was discipline for kids to keep the line. There was a standard that you had. Everybody's family standard is different. But there was a standard that you had in place. Michelle and I have a standard for our girls. My parents had a standard for us. Phil and Andrea had a standard for their kids. Felix and Marnie have a standard for your kids. You guys have a standard. There's a line that you want them to stay to. And you keep teaching them that over time. Yeah. Well, that's how the Holy Spirit wants to do it with us with Scripture. He's going to walk us through it and maintain the line. So then in verse 8, it says, therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. So they come right off the bat, like, woo, we worship you, don't kill us. Verse 10, you, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and the pastry, violiny, what is that thing? In symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Can you put yourself in that place? There's a 90-foot thing and they're threatening you with a fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar's track record pretty much holds true. So it's not like he's going to say, I'm going to throw you into that furnace, and you're like, maybe I'll talk my way out of it. Maybe my knees hurt that day. So, no, I just didn't bow because my back hurts. And he's like, oh, okay, yeah, you're okay, Susie. Like, you go on with your day. Like, right, I don't think that in that day things were more intense. And he was probably like, your back hurt, huh? Furnace. Furnace. Oh, where are we at? Verse 12. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. So these guys weren't just people in the community. They were set over the affairs. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. It won't be what we do that will get us in trouble. It'll be what we do not do that will get us in trouble. Those guys that came before Nebuchadnezzar were not saying, hey, these guys are worshiping God over here. They're praying three times a day. They're having quiet time in their room. It's not what they were doing that got them in trouble. It was what they would not do that got them in trouble. And in this case, what they did not partake of was a straight line that they knew from spending time with the Lord. And he says, do not worship any other image. We can worship a lot of things these days that aren't 90 feet tall. There's a lot of easy things to worship. So this is the cool part. I'm going to dive into Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their names. Those names were given once they came into Babylon. Their actual birth names were, where'd it go? I lost it. It's in my notes here. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were their actual names. Hananiah, this is crazy. Hananiah means Yahweh is gracious. Mishael means one who is like God. And Azariah is helped by Yahweh. Those are the God-given rights. So that's when they were being Jews in their native land. And the Lord set them apart like that. So then they get pillaged from their town. And Nebuchadnezzar's like, you're going with me. So I'm going to read you two paragraphs here about this. Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylonia from 605 BC to around 563 BC. And he was responsible for changing Daniel's name to Belshazzar. King Nebuchadnezzar had conquered Judah, destroying Jerusalem in 586. An event that had been prophesied by the prophet Jeremiah. Some of the inhabitants of Judah were taken back to Babylon as captives, including a number of the children of royal and noble families to be integrated into Babylonian society. So again, these weren't people that were just part of the community. They were part of the royal families. Among these were four boys around the age of 14 named Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. All four of these Hebrew names had meanings connected to faith. But upon arrival in Babylon, so they got taken out of their God-ordained place, their place that they got to worship freely, and set into Babylon, which you could change that to be common day world. Their names were changed. The chief official of Babylon gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. And to Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. The boys' names were changed as a way of encouraging them to forget the God and traditions of their homeland and be conformed to the ways and gods of Babylon. That's nuts. They were like, hey, we're going to change your names. They were kids. They were 14. Might not have known what was going on. Might not have had that flag. They probably weren't still with their parents if they got taken captive. To conform to the pattern of the world. It was forced assimilation. Nebuchadnezzar wanted Daniel and his friends to conform. And a name change was one step towards the goal. So then their names got changed to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Shadrach is the command of Aku, which is a Babylonian god of the moon. Meshach is who is like Aku, the god of the moon. And Abednego was a servant of Nebo, which is a Babylonian god of wisdom. So they literally got changed. Before it was Yahweh is gracious, one who is like God, and one who is helped by Yahweh. Changed to, he's the command of Aku, who is like Aku, and the servant of Nebu. Like, are you kidding me? Like, that is just straight up Satan. Like, taking you out of your native land and converting your name so you forget where you came from, and changes it to the things of the present day so you fit in. How many times do you feel people pushing you into doing things calmer, quieter? They don't have a problem that you like Jesus. They have a problem when you start stepping out and confessing how good Jesus is. They're like, well, hold on, like, water that down a little bit more. Like, you're getting a little too offensive, because I don't care that you worship Jesus in your own time. But don't be bringing Jesus into the workplace. Don't be bringing Jesus into the checkout line. Don't be bringing Jesus. Just chill out. Just chill out. Forget where you came from. Keep that to yourself and go with Babylon. Go be a part of the music, a part of the videos, a part of the culture, a part of the... We're in Halloween celebrations. Be a part of that. It's okay. It's just fun. It's not dark. Is it, though? I mean, it's celebrating witchcraft and demons and dark spirits. You should raise a flag there, guys. We did a study on Halloween a couple years ago. It is real roots, really rooted and grounded in dark things. There are literally still sacrifices of humans happening on Halloween. And then we've got churches that are doing their trunk or treat to make it church friendly. Watch the line. The Lord is not okay with things. And he may be silent now, but there will be a day that we will answer for those things. Babylon convinces us that our purpose is productivity, but our purpose is presence. So our job in this day and age is not just to make money and be successful and to be prosperous, but it's to have a real relationship with Jesus. A real daily encounter, so that when we go about our daily life, we do look different. You guys know that here at the church, we are trying to call you guys, we're the leadership, we're trying to do a daily life to maintain that standard that the Lord has called us to, so that when somebody says, why do you love Jesus? It's not the, he's nice. Like, you know, he's just kind of, he's around. When you spend time with him, he'll give you things to say. I've got a good a thing when I pray for somebody that's hurting. Sergio and I did it. He talked about it at the soup kitchen. When somebody says, or when I'm like, hey, can I pray for you? Sometimes they're like, no, I just need to wait till I get my medicine. And I'm like, your loss, not mine. Like, that's how we are, though. We've got fixes for everything. But then I come and I'm like, I've seen the Lord heal my knees. I saw a kid with a deaf ear open while I was praying for him. I was a part of the group. And the look on his face, and I'm like, when you have that, what does Revelation 20 say? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. Just like Andrea said, she's diving into her word to get a testimony so that she can go then and tell Satan, you shut your face. Because my Jesus says who I am. Or as Juanita would say, shut up, devil. Shut up, devil. But you only get to have that and say that and know the times to say that when you're in your word. If we're just going to our Sunday morning and we go about our daily life after that and nothing happens till next Sunday, is there going to be much conviction between? Is there going to be a knowledge of the line being blurred? Probably not. Just the same as how many of you have family that you might talk to once a year? Have you ever tried buying that once a year conversation a gift? You have no idea what they like. You have no idea what to get for them. No idea what they're into. No idea their passion. No idea what they... I already confessed I was bad at calling my aunt unless I needed something. I've gotten a little bit better, but not super great. At least, though, I've gotten to the point where when I called her when my dad was having a heart attack, she didn't call me frantically back because I've called her enough that she knows that it's not always a bad thing. So, I mean, I've gotten somewhere, right? I mean, before she missed the call, she's like, what's wrong? I'm like, oh, nothing. I was just calling to see if I can give Kaya some Tylenol. And she's like, it's always for something. Oh, sorry. Hey, Aunt Cindy. So anyways, that's how it goes with the Lord. We got to be spending some time, by ourselves. Sometime. Things happen. Words are hard. Math is hard. It's hot up here. Andrea left a fire over here, and I'm just, my hands are freezing cold, and everything else is hot. Sometime. You got to spend time in your word, in your worship, by yourself. Put the videos down, put the music down, put the phone down, put the games down, whatever that thing is. Not that those things are bad. We've talked about this. There can be good things that aren't bad things, but they aren't God things, so they're not really good things. Yeah. Endless farming videos for me does not produce righteousness. I can then talk about the testimony of the videos that I was watching, right? I can tell you about the new tractors. I can tell you about that plow. But does that get us anywhere, right? That's where we are, though, in this day and age. If we've got something to talk about, we're happy. We don't like being silent. We don't want to talk about the weather and the sports and the easy things. But if we're going to talk about Bible, you got to know your Bible. You got to be talking to Jesus. If I were to go to any of you, even if you came to me, I'm not perfect. I mean, there are definitely days you could walk up to me and be like, so what's the Lord saying to you? And I'd be like, my phone's dead. I haven't talked to him in a while. I don't know. I don't know what he's saying. Right? There's just a time that is life. It's happened for all of us. And if you don't say that, you're lying to yourself. But the Lord is gracious. He's compassionate. And he doesn't mind that the phone was dead. He's like, hey, reconnect. Is a TV very fun if it's not plugged in? Neither is a relationship with the Lord if you're not plugged in. It can be pretty boring. Rabbit trails. All right. Verse 13. Daniel 3:13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true?" So now the king is asking them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up?" Can you imagine the king asking you that? Are you going to be nervous? Probably. Are you going to speak the truth? I sure hope I will. There will be a day that there will be an answering. Verse 15. "Now if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good." So this is Nebuchadnezzar reminding them again. "Did you miss my instructions? I said, if you hear it, you worship. But if you do not worship, you will be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fire, your furnace." And what's his last phrase in that line there? "And who is the God who would deliver you from my hands?" So Nebuchadnezzar's like, "You think that your God is all big and bad? You think that you can have power over me? You didn't see my 90-foot gold image that I built? Obviously, that thing's more powerful than your whimsical God. He's not going to come and save you." I mean, he obviously hadn't heard about Elijah and the prophets of Baal that would happen years before him. I mean, they did the same thing. They're like, "Oh, who's your God? Who are you that you can..." And he's like, Elijah's like, "All right, let's do it. We'll go to battle. Out here in the field, you set up a bull, I'll set up a bull. You cry out, I'll cry out. And whichever one has fire come down, he's the God." I love that story, because then they go all day. The prophets of Baal are crying and gnashing and cutting themselves and weeping. Oh, Elijah, just so great. He knows that God is on his side. He's like, "He must not be listening. Maybe he's taking a nap. Maybe he had to go to the bathroom. Don't tell my mom. Maybe he's just busy at the moment. Maybe he's assisting other prophets of his. Maybe you should cry out louder." Right? He's literally just mocking them because he knew who his God was. He knew that God said, "Hey, whatever you ask of me, you will have it." And so he mocks them all day long. And he's like, "All right, forget it. There's too much blood out here. You guys are hurting me. I can't watch you do this anymore." And so then what does he do? He floods the thing out, makes a basin around it, soaked in water. Woo! Like, "God, show these crazy guys that you are the true God." I would have loved to have seen that. I mean, it would have been so intense. I don't know what fire falling from sky looks like, but you know for sure that whoever he just asked must really be a thing, because we've seen fire from a lighter, maybe from some flint, maybe from, you know, but fire's just falling out of the sky. And they're like, "Oh, shoot, we're gone." They take off running, right? And then Elijah, that doesn't happen, because in that day, the Lord told Elijah, "You go kill all of them." So they all got killed because they were worshiping the wrong God. Yep. Intense, are you kidding me? So this is a similar time. Jesus still hasn't come yet. So things were happening in that day. So Nebuchadnezzar is like, "Who is your God who deliver you from my hands?" Verse 16. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter.'" They didn't even need to defend themselves. Have you ever gotten accused of doing something and you want to defend yourself? You want to throw words back to make yourself feel better, to make yourself seem good, to make yourself seem right? Thank you, Andrea. That's our inclination, is to back ourselves up, defend ourselves. And now these guys are literally at the point of death. "Hey, I'm going to throw you in that fire. So what do you got to say to me?" "Oh, my back hurt." No. Like that, they weren't going to say anything like that. They were like, "We don't need to talk to you." Because they knew that God was going to defend them. just like Elijah did in that day. Verse 17, if this is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand. They're saying this to the king. Verse 18, so they're like full of faith right there, right? Yeah, like, oh yeah, he's got us. Verse 18, but if not, wait, I thought you were full of faith, and you were like, yeah, God's got me. Like, no big deal, he's going to save us. And then they're like, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. So they're so secure that if God really doesn't deliver them, still not worshiping your God, because they know that the God that they serve is faithful. They know that no matter what, he is the king. The same as I'm diabetic now, not healed, but I still know that my God is good. I'm not going to fall down and I'm not going to worship the other side because God is still good. And that's where these boys are at. They're like, even if he doesn't come, I'm not worshiping your 90-foot thing that's a chocolate bunny. That's not even worth anything. Like, what are you going to do here? So we verse 19 now, I believe. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He liked them before. And so he was trying to be gracious with them. Why didn't you worship? And now they're like, your God's junk. Our God is the God. And he's like, now you've offended me. You done did it. He spoke a command that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments. Why does that matter? I don't know. They were bound with everything they had on. They were hooked and tied and, was it hogtied? Getting ready to get chucked in. A lot of flammables, yes. Clothes, yes. And they were cast, that is true. That's a good connection. So they were bound in their garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 22, therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed the men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So there's a place of security knowing that the people that are going to escort the accusation against you aren't even going to be able to survive. They weren't a part of the accusation. They were just the message bearers. They're the ones that Nebuchadnezzar was like, you guys, you're strong, you're men of valor, you're faithful to me. I know that these boys are not going to get away from you. You go throw them in the fire. And they open that thing up, and pff, they're dead. Can you imagine Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego all tied up? And like, why are we still alive? Like, wouldn't that thought cross your mind? Like, holy cow. Like, did they feel the heat? Who knows? Like, was there... It was 7 times hotter. That's a big fire. How many of you had a big fire? Like big fire. You got to stand a long ways away. You could still feel the heat. So they probably were feeling the heat. And these guys are dead. And they're like, huh. All right, cool. Our God's good. So verse 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. And he rose in haste and spoke, saying to the counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? All his helpers were like, yeah, we did. True, O king. Nebuchadnezzar says, look, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. So the chains that bind you, the shackles that hold you down, the fire of the Lord will burn those off to bring freedom. The ropes, the things that were bound on them got burned off in the fire, but none of their trousers, their garments, their turbans, their coats, or touch. They're made out of the same material. Are you kidding me? The Lord is that perfect that he caused the fire to burn the ropes off and not harm them. That's a place of security in the Lord that I don't know that I'm at yet. Right? I mean, holy smokes! And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. This is before Jesus. So this is pre-incarnation, Jesus, in the fire, that this man that just built a 90-foot image of gold recognizes, uh-oh, Dad just showed up, right? You ever be, as a kid, messing around, and then mom or dad walks in, it's like, whoa. I wasn't doing that. Like Nebuchadnezzar, like he's like, oh yeah, I got. They're walking around and there's a fourth one in there and he looks like Jesus. I'm just going to go over here. I'm out. Why do you think God allowed it to go so far? If he sent down fire to lick up the altars with the bulls on it, couldn't he have destroyed this 90-foot gold image? Couldn't he have silenced Nebuchadnezzar? He could have struck him dead. He could have caused the people binding these boys to be hurt in the process. Yeah, he could have put the fire out. That's a good one. He will use the fire of hardships to burn away the ropes that bind us. If you ask Pastor Bruce, he got some ropes burned off him a couple weeks ago because he went through a hardship. There's a place that those things happen that then cause us to draw closer. You've heard it said before, the people that are dying of cancer that give a couple months, you got this long to live. Sometimes those people just go and do it all. If they're not a believer, they'll go skydiving, they'll go bungee, like, what do I have to lose? I'm going to die anyway, so I might as well die having fun, right? So then if it's on the Jesus side, I was listening to a testimony, he had 2 months to live. And he's like, I've never shared my faith so much in my life. I've never loved my wife so well. She's never loved me so well. Because when hardship comes, it forces us to live like Jesus really asks us to live every day. So that fire will burn away the chains that bind us. So then we get more brave. God allows suffering because suffering produces character. God is after character, not comfort. I'm comfortable. Life's easy. I wake up every day at the same time. I go to work at the same time. I pretty much get off at the same time. I drive home the same way. I get gas the same way. We eat about the same time. I sleep about the same amount of time. I know where my food comes from. I know that my house is safe. All of those things just make us comfortable. I've got all my fixes. When I go through struggling time, I can turn on something. I can tap into something. I can take something. Do you remember the message of me on the couch? Chilling in our pajamas like, Jesus, you just take it. I'm just going to sleep here. I'm so comfortable that nothing really matters. Jesus is like, hey, get up. Put your work clothes on and get out there. If can be a threat or a promise. If you obey the speed limit, you will not get a ticket. If you speed, you will get a ticket. If you eat your dinner, you will get ice cream, right? There's both sides of that. So we're going to look at some if scriptures. This is speed shooting, so if you got a pen, you might have to write fast. I don't know that you'll flip there fast enough. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. If my people. Exodus 22:22. But if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. Who wants God to be an enemy to your enemy? Those people that are just jerks? I would love to have Jesus fight for me on that side. For my angel, this is still Exodus, chapter 22, verse 23. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the... Perizzites? What are those people in this day, right? We don't have Canaanites and Perizzites and Jebusites and Hittites and Moabites and... You guys probably know somebody in your life that's an ite. Ite. Ite? You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars. What's that start with? If you obey my voice. This is the same as the communion table. If we're sitting at the table with demons, what do we get? We do not get righteousness, holiness, peace, joy, love, patience, kindness. You get anger, frustration, lack of sleep, no peace. You get sickness, you get disease, you get divorce, you get... If my people obey my voice. Deuteronomy 28:2. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. So if you obey Jesus, you get blessings. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. If you answer the door, if you answer, Jesus is knocking. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. If we choose righteousness, we will see blessings. If we choose sin, we can expect destruction. If is a choice. Are you going to spend it or are you going to waste it? Are you going to sit quiet and listen or are you going to fill your mind? I'm in this too. This is not from a high place of been there, done that, achieved it, got that. No. This is me in life now. I've been actively trying to spend time with the Lord. Oh, my phone tells me screen time every week. Do any of you get that notification? Like, hey, your screen time was this or that or whatever. Mine told me I was down 6% last week, and I was like, when? But I average 2.5 hours a day on my phone. If I'm working 10 hours a day, and I'm dadding for 3 hours a day, and I'm sleeping for... Where are those 2.5 hours? Just like this. Oh, 10 seconds here, couple minutes there, 5 minutes here, 10-minute video here. We've heard the pastor say 10% of 24 hours. It doesn't all have to be in one chunk. If I can accumulate 2.5 hours a day on my phone, in moment increments, couldn't you accomplish 2.5 hours a day with Jesus in increments? Yeah. Yeah. In moments. In a thought of, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're good. Boom. Screen time went up. Lord, thank you for today. I ask that you would just give. Boom. Screen time just went up. Thank you, Jesus, that you call me beloved. Boom, screen time just went up. I mean, have you ever thought of that? I mean, if you accumulate those moments over the day, you wouldn't be as unrighteous as you think you are. I beat myself up sometimes for not spending enough time with the Lord. And there are definitely days that I don't ever look at my Jesus phone. in the understanding of nowadays, right? And there are days that I do try to give him what I can. There are days that I try to open my phone to look at scripture while I'm at work, or I listen to a podcast while I'm at work, or you name it. You can accumulate those things over easy time of moments. It's just what you'll choose. If you spend time with him, you get blessings. If you open your phone to scroll aimlessly, you will get nothing. There is no good that comes from it. I mean, unless you're Jesus phone time. Because it can be a good tool. It can be. It is. It's nice to have Bibles. My dad talks about having a Bible in his truck that he would take to lunch every day at his job site. I don't really have to do that now. I can have every different version of the Bible. I can have Andrea's cheat sheet Bible. I can have all in here. All in my phone. I don't need a paperback. So, amen. If. Just be conscious. Words are hard. Be conscious of your time. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. And one of the pastors that I follow, this is a closing of the close before the fun of the pastors after the close. This is crazy. These are facts. These are statistics that have been pulled over I don't know how much. But it says, pray for your pastor. 97% of pastors have been betrayed, falsely accused, or hurt by their trusted friends. 70% of pastors battle depression. 7,000 churches close each year. 1,500 pastors quit each month. 10% will retire as a pastor. 10%. 80% of pastors feel discouraged. I mean, can you imagine being the one? I'm not there. I'm not saying you guys are there. But imagine being the one that's trying to bring the word of the Lord. It's one against hundreds in some cases. And the people throw the rocks because the pastor is supposed to be perfect and without blemish. And hey, we're weak too. We're broken too. Sergio's broken. My dad's broken. My mom's broken. Any of us that have spoke, we're broken. We're in this too. 94% of pastors' families feel the pressures of ministries. Michelle's been there. I'm sure my mom's been there. There's pressure that comes with it. 78% of pastors have no close friends. That's kind of a scary thought. I was like, man, if I really do this church thing for a long time, I at least have one friend that will go with me for a long time. And he's a long distance away. And this last one, 90% of pastors report working 55 to 75 hours per week. Did you know that? Did you know that pastors are under so much accusation and pressure and demonic spirit? Pray for pastors. I mean, we still have ours. Pray the Lord. And we did prayer for that. But I just encourage you, if you'll humble yourself and pray for family members, for Fast Eddie, for the Lord will do it. It's just about what you spend your time sowing into. Amen. The other side of buy online.